We have 11 amazing restaurants featuring a wide variety for every price range and appetite. South Point's Garden Buffet has something for everyone at unbeatable prices. Or, if hunger strikes in the middle of the night, join us at Coronado Cafe. The American menu offers breakfast, lunch, or dinner 24 hours a day. Plus a Chinese kitchen for authentic Chinese dishes from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. From steak and eggs to wonton soup, it's fast and friendly service 24/7. When you need a quick pick-me-up, you can find it at our state-of-the-art Starbucks just inside the main South Point entrance. Order ahead with the Starbucks app for easy mobile order pickups. Or enjoy your favorites in the relaxing dining area anytime, day or night. If you love Mexican food, Baja Miguel's has all of your south of the border favorites. There are dozens of classics to choose from, like fajitas, ceviche, chimichangas, tacos, and more. And for spirit lovers, Baja's colorful non-smoking tequila bar is right outside.
Hi, I'm Kurt Angle.
I represented the United States in the Olympics in 1996 and won a gold medal. Then I parlayed that into a pro wrestling career. I saw a commercial a few years ago.
Tunnel to Towers Foundation made a promise.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation is paying off the mortgages for Gold Star families with young children. I thought, this is really cool. I want to be a part of it. My dad served in the Army for 30 years. We didn't have a lot of money, but he made sure we had what we needed. He set a great example for all of us. But he died in a construction accident my freshman year in high school. When he died, we didn't have any income coming in, and we ended up being forced to move out of our house. I was devastated. So I understand what these families are going through, and to have an organization like Tunnel to Towers come in and pick you up and carry you and give you a home to live in, I think that's just amazing. I'd like to ask you to donate $11 a month to support these efforts by going to T2T.org or calling 1-844-BRAVEST.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
From the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf flow, at the racebooks and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning. Alrighty, welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program for this Friday. We come to you live and direct from the gaming capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, right here at our studio station, home base at the South Point Studios at the South Point Hotel Casino Complex on Las Vegas Boulevard in your gaming capital, and the YouTube South Point Streaming Network, where you'll find us. You can see and hear us and chat away on the chat box as well at YouTube. We welcome you to the show. We also welcome all of you running around town on this chilly morning here in Las Vegas, listening to us on our anchor radio station, Sports Talk 1400 AM, 107.1 FM, and of course all of the other things, you know, all the platforms we got all over the place. Our websites, racedaylasvegas.com, .vegas.world, .global, I know I pay all those bills. I'm there all over the place on race day, and of course, we have your devices, your iPhone, Android, and your Google phone. You can get your apps that you can get to either the YouTube app or the KSHP app to either hear us through the radio station or watch us and listen to us on the YouTube app as well. And anywhere you get your podcasting. We're all over the place with podcasting, too, by the way. I discover we're podcasting in a lot of different places I don't even know or remember, but our webmaster does a great job. Jack does a great job for getting all this stuff together for us. And, of course, here in the studio, Sean and the group here just keep us going on YouTube as well. So we welcome you no matter how you get us, wherever you get us, when you get us to the Race Day Show for this Friday. It's cold out here, really chilly out here. 43 degrees right now, but when I left the house, it was, like in the 30s. So it is warming up, but it's not going to warm up much. From the 43 we have now, we're going to top off just 12 more degrees at 55 today. We've got a little cold front coming through here. And this is the way it looks like for the rest of the weekend. It's going to be sunny. The winds finally died down from days ago. So at least it'll be chilly. It'll be sunny. It'll be nice. And it's always fast, firm, and perfect in the race book here at the South Point as well. So no problem there. Now, looking ahead to the rest of the country, as far as the temperatures are concerned, New York, I was told that the wind really was whistling through New York yesterday and parts of this morning. Now, we know that Aqueduct will cancel quicker when the winds get higher than it does when the temperature gets lower. So right now, we're still a go at New York at Aqueduct, and they say the wind has died down there, but it was windy there in New York. The wind continues to whip around up in Boston, where it's going to top out at 44 degrees. But New York, you're going to top out at 51 degrees. You're going to be just 2 degrees lower than we are here in Vegas. Now, Miami, of course, always bright and beautiful there, 77 degrees. Tampa, 76. Looking forward to the big racing tomorrow at Tampa Bay Downs. So Tampa's 76 today, looking good there. Partly cloudy and sunny over there. Phoenix, Arizona, 53 and raining. How about that? The rains that came through California and here are now on their way down through the south there. And Phoenix, Arizona, 53 and a little bit of rain there. But like I said, we're going to be sunny here today, topping out at 55. Might get a little bit higher there. Once the sun starts beating down, we're okay. As far as Los Angeles, where Santa Anita is ramping up for another weekend of racing, 63 degrees, partly cloudy, partly sunny there in Los Angeles. And as far as Chicago, it's raining at 39 degrees. So that's what it looks like. Chicago, Detroit, right in there, right up in that upper echelon there by the weather is going through there. You got snow that's and rain that's going through parts of Iowa and Wisconsin and Nebraska. You got rain that's going through Arkansas there down by Oaklawn Park. You got rain going through there. But as far as Miami is concerned, up and down the East Coast is clear right now, and the West Coast as well clear. That little rain pocket that went through Southern California, making its way like now getting into Arizona, where all that rain is accumulating there. So that's going to be the weather today. The only track that canceled after we went off the air was Sunland Park, because it was due to the weather, they say. So Sunland Park was canceled yesterday, but all systems are go today for Sunland Park. Everybody else's all systems go for this Friday. One of the greatest voices in horse racing of all time, and certainly a gentleman that changed the way races are described and called in this country decades ago, Trevor Denman. Now, Trevor Denman used to be the race caller at Santa Anita. He even called the L.A. County Fair in Pomona. There, he came in there after I was gone. He was a guest announcer at a lot of different racetracks. He took a little stint over at Pimlico, etc. But he was a mostly Southern California announcer and certainly the announcer at Del Mar for years. But as you know, when COVID hit, Trevor stayed at his place up. I believe he has a farm up in Montana. And so up, if not Montana, up there close to that part of the country. And he was isolated in his home there and did not come down to call the races at Del Mar 1 year. So they tapped Larry Colmus, who is the television broadcast announcer for the Breeders' Cup and the Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown. Larry does a great job. He filled in for Trevor. Started with COVID, and then every winter meet after that, Trevor decided to stay up at his home and not come back to Del Mar for the 4 or 5 weeks. So Larry Colmus was filling in there as well. And, of course, Trevor came back for the big summer meet. Well, Trevor's decided to retire completely. So Trevor Denman has retired from racing. His calls from racing, he said in his release that he felt it was about time to do so. So Trevor Denman has retired, and he has changed the way announcers call races, watch races, and describe races for you and me and everybody else. Going to talk a little bit about Trevor Denman with our handicappers today. But Larry Comas has got the job for the summertime now, too. So Larry Comas will be the announcer now at Del Mar for this upcoming summer meet and, of course, the winter meet again. So congratulations to Larry as well. Trevor Denman retiring from calling races. Breeders' Cup, talk about another retired horse. Breeders' Cup Mile winner, Master of the Seas, has been retired as well. He will no longer be racing on the racetrack. He has been retired. And as far as looking ahead to the Kentucky Derby horses, we went over on Wednesday a lot of the horses that are still on the trail for the Kentucky Derby and what their next stops will be. Well, Burnham Square, remember, he was the Holy Bull winner. They've decided that his next start is going to be in the Bluegrass Stakes. So Burnham Square will go in the Bluegrass Stakes next. But I got to tell you that tomorrow's Tampa Bay Derby is going to be a real interesting race because there are three racehorses in that race that would be certainly close to the upper echelon of the Kentucky Derby contenders. And I guess I'm pretty sure that the horse that wins that duel tomorrow probably go right up there too as well. 50 Kentucky Derby points, of course, for the Tampa Bay Derby tomorrow. The Tampa Bay Oaks does not hold any leaderboard points for the fillies, but you got to think that if a filly wins the Tampa Bay Oaks, that they might decide to get on the Kentucky Oaks trail as well. Again, we got big races at Tampa Bay, 6 of them tomorrow, and on Tampa Bay Derby Day. And if you remember, we're keeping our fingers crossed. Because you remember the debacle that happened last year on Tampa Bay Derby Day when the Tampa Bay Derby, the Parimutuel machines went down. They delayed running the race. Remember all that? They delayed running the race and all that stuff. So let's hope that all the connections stay as they should at Tampa Bay for their big day of racing tomorrow. Okay? Hey, our handicappers, 100% yesterday as far as the horses were concerned. Remember that John Lindo and Rich Hang both landed on the same horse in the fourth race at Gulfstream Park yesterday, Bourbon Outlaw. Bourbon Outlaw got a great ride by Lionel Reyes and won the fourth race for trainer Mark Hennig. Bourbon Outlaw paid $6.40 for the win there. A couple of races later, Jonathan Ardoon's pick on the show, Anna's Promise, got a perfect ride from that jock as well. And I can tell you this, Anna's Promise earned the victory. She outdueled the prohibitive odds-on favorite in the race, then took on the second favorite in the race, battled with that horse, lost the lead in mid-stretch of that horse, and came back and re-rallied and won. Anna's Promise ran a huge race yesterday with Luis Saez aboard for Carlos David, and paid $15.60 for the win there. And Jonathan Hardoon's pick, nice win there in that race, that's for sure. As far as everything else at Gulfstream Park is concerned, the pick six jackpot, the 20-cent pick six jackpot, paid $30,738.52. That was a big, and check this out. Are you ready for this? Late pick five, $12.20, $11 even, Hardoon's $15.60, then you had $14.80, and the last race paid $21.40. You know it's going to be boxcars. It was. For the people who put that together, how about the pick five at Gulfstream yesterday, paying $47,661.65. Wow. Wow. That was a good hit there yesterday. By the way, over the 9 races yesterday, no jockey or no trainer had more than one winner except for Luis Saez, who won the 6th and 7th races back-to-back. He won 2 out of those 5 in the late pick 5, the $11 winner and the $15.60 winner that Jonathan Ardoon gave. So congratulations to those who hit that, man. That was something else at Gulfstream Park yesterday. wasn't the biggest payoff yesterday, however. In fact, it was not even the second or third highest payoff. Yesterday at Turfway Park, pick six jackpot, they posted $109,936 as the payoff there. Now, sometimes they will post on the Equibase a $2 base bet payoff and not the minimum base bet payoff. So we have to watch when we take a look at the top payoffs. I'm sorry. I take that back. That's a carryover today at Turfway Park. I'll get it right. We have a dollar super high five that was the highest payoff at Gulfstream Park, paid $53,394.80. That was the highest payoff yesterday. Gulfstream Park's pick five, of course, the $47,000 was the second highest payoff, and their pick six jackpot was the third highest. So Gulfstream Park had three of the first three top three payoffs yesterday around the country. The, of course, again, like I said, the other ones, the ones that I'm talking about are the carryovers, and I'll get to that when we get to our racing menu. So we got Jonathan Hardoon today, Rich Eng, John Leto, and Jerry J. Richie's pick yesterday in basketball was a real heartbreaker. Lost by a half a point with the spread. Lost by a half a point with the spread. But he's got another college basketball pick for today along with his horse pick. So we got all our handicappers ready and set to go. And, of course, we've got our racing menu yet. So we're going to get started a little bit earlier to get into our handicappers and talk about not only their thoughts about Trevor Denman, but, of course, also what's heading into this weekend for us. So without any further ado, we'll get to our first break, reminding you, as we always do, that when you go to the YouTube page and you get on our page after going searching for the South Point Studios streaming and then getting to our page and clicking Race Day, you'll see on the right-hand side the chatters, and they're chatting away right now in the chat box. You can be part of that chat box if you want to by getting to that page and then simply subscribing. Subscribing is free. Doesn't cost you anything to subscribe, but that lets you into the chat box, and then you can start chatting away as well. Our chatters chat away with some late-breaking news as far as races on the turf, off the turf, etc., and they do some handicapping as well, so try it out. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
South Point Casino has plenty of attractions for the whole family. Catch a movie. Our 16-screen movie theater includes two XD Extreme screens for the ultimate in viewing, sound, and luxury. After the show, treat the family to a variety of treats at our old-fashioned ice cream parlor, Kate's Corner. We scoop up a variety of creamy concoctions, including smoothies, hand-dipped cones, milkshakes, malts, sodas, and sundaes. At Kate's, there's something for everyone. And if you've still got time to spare, our bowling center might be right up your alley. Voted best of Las Vegas, it's a great place for friends and family fun. 64 lanes, a pro shop, snack bar, and arcade. And while the kids are bowling, you can play slots and sip on a drink in the Alley Cat Lounge while overlooking the lanes. For our more serious and professional bowlers, the South Point is also home to a separate tournament bowling plaza.
Back on Race Day Las Vegas, and of course, we'll be checking in later on with John Linda. We know that the rains went through Southern California last night because I was talking to a friend of mine, said the rain was really bad where she was at. So we will wait and see what the day holds as far as racing at Santa Anita. But we will get started with our racing menu for today, reminding you it's the first post times we broadcast on this racing menu each and every day, reflect that of the Pacific time zone. So if you're in the Pacific time zone, no problem. These will be the first post times that roll out in the book here today and in the Pacific time zone. If you're listening anywhere else around the world in other time zones, as we know you are, then you just adjust from your time zone to the Pacific time zone, tweak it out to get the post times right for wherever you're at so you don't miss anything, like I miss Mom and Dad, okay? Here we go. We begin with Laurel Park. Laurel Park has a first post time of 9:10 this morning for their nine-race card. Laurel Park has a carryover in their pick six jackpot. Pick six jackpot at Laurel Park $9,548, and their first post time at Laurel today, again, set at 9:10 at Laurel. Tampa Bay Downs is next, the day before the big day of racing there at Tampa Bay. They got 9 races today at Tampa Bay. They got a pick six jackpot carryover there of $11,516 at Tampa Bay, and their first post time at Tampa Bay for 9 races today, set at 9:40 at Tampa Bay. Then we go to Gulfstream Park. Gulfstream Park has 9 races today. Carryover in their pick six jackpot, $44,148. $44,148 in the carryover at Gulfstream Park in their pick six rainbow jackpot carryover. They have 9 races today with a first post time of 9:50. Hey, the Big A is back in business. Aqueduct has a 8 race card today. Their first post time is at 10:10 at Aqueduct today. And it looks like the weather there is going to be sunny and 40 degrees at post time. Sunny and 40 degrees at Aqueduct. No carryovers there. First post time is 10:10 for their 8 races at Aqueduct today. Oaklawn Park. Now, there might be a little weather going on at Oaklawn Park there. They've got 10 races at Oaklawn Park. And a first post time today at Oaklawn Park set at 10:30. Might have a little weather concerns over there. Fairgrounds has 8 races today. The Fairgrounds first post time is set at 10:45. They got a small pick six carryover at Fairgrounds, and it's a regular pick six carryover. That stands at $3,706. Fairgrounds, again, first post time for 8 races, 10:45. Now, Sunland Park is scheduled to go today. Remember, they canceled their races yesterday at Sunland Park, but today they're scheduled to go. They have 10 races. They got a $90,000 feature race, the Albert and Henry Dominguez Memorial Stakes. That'll be the 9th on the card, where Let Him Be is the 6-5 favorite in a field of 7 before scratches. 10 races today at Sunland, and a first post time at Sunland Park today of 11:25 today at Sunland Park. Then we go to Santa Anita. Santa Anita's cranking it up again for the weekend. Santa Anita scheduled first post time today for 9 races is set at 12:30. 12:30 first post at Santa Anita today. They have a super high 5 carryover left over from Sunday of $55,690. Okay, that's a super high 5 carryover at Santa Anita. And that is from Sunday. Again, $55,690. 9 races, first post time at Santa Anita today is at 12:30. Then we go to Penn National. Penn Nat has 9 races today. Super high 5 jackpot carryover, $7,121. 9 races, first post time, 2:45. Turfway Park. Turfway Park has a big carryover. Their super high 5 carryover is $11,600, but the big carryover is their pick 6 jackpot. That's $109,936. It wasn't a payoff yesterday. That's the carryover for today. Turfway Park's carryover in the pick six jackpot, $109,936. 10 races, first post time is at 2:55. And then we wrap it up with Charlestown. Charlestown Races has a pick six jackpot carryover, $34,663. They have 8 races with a first post time of 4 p.m. at Charlestown today. All righty. Now let's get started with our handicappers. Let's go to Jonathan Ardoon standing by. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How are you?
I'm doing fine, my man. Do you remember at all when Trevor Denman first popped on the scene?
Actually, I don't remember exactly when, but he certainly made a splash, and he was a pioneer for race calls with from Australia. Anyone with that kind of accent, I guess. He was the first, and other tracks followed, and he was terrific. I was blessed to get to listen to Tom Durkin and Trevor Denman, and I think those are the two best race callers of all time, and I was lucky to listen to both of them.
Well, I can tell you this, that Trevor's been calling for 4 decades, 40 years of race calling, 40 years on the job at Del Mar. Now, I remember Trevor Denman came from his homeland where he was calling races, paid his own way to come out to America, and convinced a lot of the racetracks in America to have him call one race just to see if they liked his style of calling. As a matter of fact, one of the earlier races that Trevor Denman ever called was in New York at, I believe it was Aqueduct at the time. And then he made his way to Southern California, and he convinced the management at Southern California to have him call a race at Santa Anita. Well, he called a race at Santa Anita, and he blew them away with his call because it was so different from how the race callers were calling in our country up until that point. And they asked him to call another race, and before you know it, the next season, Trevor Denman had the job as the track announcer at Santa Anita, and of course he went on in Southern California. He even called a couple of years at the L.A. County Fair in Pomona, and of course he had special calling assignments in other places. He called some races, I think, at Pimlico, too. But in any case, he changed the way callers call the races. The callers that called the races before that were calling races like a chart caller. So-and-so by a half length, so-and-so is third by a length and a half, etc. But you never knew what were the maneuvers. He connected the dots and colored in what was going on. And, of course, the man who did that first in America was Tom Durkin. Tom Durkin did the same thing.
What's amazing about Trevor Denman was he could pick a horse up that's running seventh or eighth and tell you in advance that you better take a look at so-and-so because he's coming, and you thought he was crazy. And the next thing you knew, the horse was in front. So he was great at picking horses up from behind and really, he painted a terrific picture.
Yeah, and he had some really colorful sayings about horses, too. And I hope that when John Lindo gets with us a little bit later on, that John will remember some of those great, his signatures.
You better sprout wings.
That's
you
right.
have to sprout wings. If you have
right.
a 20 set go to a window, be they'd, first online.
They'd have to sprout wings to beat so-and-so. Yes.
He looks like he just jumped in at the quarter pole.
Yeah, those type of sayings. He really made it colorful, that's for sure. And all I can say is we enjoyed his calls, and certainly we...
Is he in the Hall of Fame, Ralph? Is he in the Hall of Fame? If not, how could he not be?
let me ask you a question. Is there a position in the Hall of Fame for track announcers? Do we even have one?
I think they put Durkin in a few years ago.
That's the case, he's automatic to get in if he's not
right,
in already.
Right, of course. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, so.
They also get, by the way, they should give an Eclipse Award every year to the best call of a race. I'm lobbying for that right now. I'm lobbying for that. Get that Eclipse
Award. You're a voter, so you get to do things like that.
Yeah,
so.
Well, I'll be happy to send them a line and say, listen, nobody really comes to the racetrack, in all honesty, because of the track announcer. But a lot of people at the racetrack will appreciate a great track announcer or one that irritates them as well.
Yeah, there are plenty that irritate that we listen to races on mute these days, Ralph. We're always texting back and forth. Did you hear that guy?
But it's just, in the end, it's just a matter of taste. But in this particular situation with Trevor and the few others that you were talking about, they are consummate announcers because they just don't call the horses around the track. They color a picture for you that you know what's going on. Sometimes good, sometimes bad with the horses you're backing.
Yeah.
Certainly yesterday, whoever called the races, the caller, Aiello, at Gulfstream, and he's colorful too, by the way, announcer at Gulfstream. I like his calls. But he was calling just right for our picks yesterday. That's for sure.
He did a great job. He followed orders.
Yes. In any case, time to get started with some picks. You were right on the ball with that $15 winner yesterday. And what a powerful race that horse ran. Just because he paid
$15. He earned that victory,
yeah.
Ralph.
Yeah.
He earned that victory. I mean, everybody took a shot at him, and he just kept – he looked like he was finished two or three times, but he just kept going. Terrific ride by Luis Saez as well.
All right, let's get started. Give me some picks.
Okay, let's go to Aqueduct and look at race number 6, A Mile on the Main Track. And I like the number 7 horse in here. That's a Fact Jack. This is a 4-year-old filly from the Dominic Schettino barn. Katie Davis aboard to ride. She ran in a big effort 2 starts back. She reacted last time out. Look for her to rebound and run a big one today. 8-1 on the morning line. I like number 7. That's the Fact Jack to win today's 6th race out at Aqueduct.
The 7, That's a Fact Jack. In the 6th race. Now, you had earlier picked another horse that you sent me. Was that horse scratched?
Obviously.
Okay.
I don't play dirty tricks on you.
I was just going to say, is the horse's name, obviously? I mean, all right. So anyhow, the official pick on the show that we expect to run today, and it's at least in right now as we speak, sixth race, the seven. That's a fact, Jack. The seven in the sixth race at Aqueduct. Where are we going next?
Let's go to Gulfstream. Look at race number 8, 5 furlongs on Tapita. And the number 6 horse in here, Bound for Trouble. 3-year-old gelding from the Jose D'Angelo barn. 7-2 on the morning line. This is a pick 5, pick 6, pick 4, pick 3 single. Number 6, Bound for Trouble. 7-2 on the morning line. Paco Lopez for Jose D'Angelo wins today's 8th race out at Gulfstream.
He's also an exacta single, a win, place, and show single as well. So in the 8th race, you got it, buddy. Number 6, Bound for Trouble, and you will be if this horse doesn't win after all of this. In the 8th race, the 6, Bound for Trouble, Paco Lopez aboard. 8th race at Gulfstream, the 6. And I would imagine you have one in good old SoCal.
I do. 7th race today, 6.5 furlongs. Now, they're on the turf, so I assume they're still on the turf or down the hill.
Yeah.
But in either case, I like the number 4 horse in here, Royal Charter, a 5-year-old mare for the Leonard Powell barn. This horse tried the hillside turf course last time out, and she ran the lights out. She's listed at 9-2 on the morning line. I like number 4, Royal Charter, to win today's 7th race out at Santa Anita.
So in the 7th race at Santa Anita, you don't care if this horse runs on broken glass. You're going with them, right?
Well, as long as it's on grass. I don't care if they're uphill, downhill, any hill.
This is not a play if they switch to the main track.
Right. It's turf only. But they're on the turf. They announced
it. Yeah, I know. I know. But you can never can tell in Southern California. That's why I'm saying it now. You know, at 7 o'clock in the morning, it's different than when you get out there in the afternoon. 7th race today at Santa Anita. If it stays on the turf, just as long as they run on the grass, no matter what grass course they decide to put it on, in the 7th race, the 4, Royal Chatter, the 4, Royal Chatter is your play in the 7th race. Now, you have a full sheet for Santa Anita. You have a full sheet for Gulfstream, and you have a full sheet for Aqueduct. But you also have a full sheet for Oaklawn Park today.
JONHARDOON.com.
Thanks a lot, Jonathan. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Ralph. Stay safe and be well.
And we will be right back. Rich Eng is in the batter's box, and he's coming up next, so don't go away.
Here we are in Houston, opening up our first veteran village. This beautiful building that's going to house 161 homeless veterans. Any veteran that risked their lives and they're struggling with PTSD, mental illness, addiction. We're also building what I call comfort homes, 500 square foot homes. These are for older homeless veterans, so they have their own space and give them back some of their dignity, some of their independence, and most certainly give them back their life. Go to T2T.org to learn how you can change a veteran's life forever.
South Point offers all the types of entertainment you'd expect at a first-class Las Vegas resort. Did you know our 400-seat showroom is one of Las Vegas's top destinations for live entertainment? Enjoy live performances by classic Vegas entertainers, bands, and today's hottest comedians, plus a rock and dance floor. You can also enjoy live entertainment at the Grandview Lounge, where you'll feel all the vibes of old Las Vegas. Enjoy the music, and if you love to laugh, don't miss The Dirty at 12:30, our very own free comedy show, every Friday night at 12:30 a.m. in the Grandview Lounge. The Dirty is 100% free, so arrive early. Go to southpointcasino.com or call the box office at 77136 for today's performances at the showroom and the Grandview Lounge. When you're ready for your favorite cocktail, stop in and unwind at one of our 7 specialty lounges. There's a bar around every corner, because you're in Vegas, baby.
It's time to go out to Rich Eng standing by. Richie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie. Good morning, viewers. Good morning, listeners.
Well, got beat by you need one more point in the game yesterday and didn't get it, got beat by a hook. But nevertheless, it was a close game right to the wire. I know you have another game in college basketball today, but one of our chatters are asking you about the Mountain West game between University of New Mexico and UNLV tonight. Do you have any thoughts about that?
I really don't on that. The Mountain West, I really liked it a couple of years ago, especially when San Diego State was at the top of the heap. They've had some really good teams. The game tonight, I would just flip a coin. I don't have an opinion.
Okay, good. I just wanted to get that out since he asked on the chat if you did have a thought about that. You do have a thought, though, about a game that is playing today.
Yeah, yes, I do. Last night's game, just a real quick follow-up. The game was not on television, which really surprised the heck out of me.
I know.
I wasn't able to watch it, but I was following it on the ESPN on the Internet, and Northern Kentucky was trailing 54-41 with 6 minutes to go, and I kind of thought the game was done. They were toast. But they made a huge comeback, and they got within 3 points with about a minute to go, and they could not crack inside of that. The key was Cleveland State made all their free throws. They were like 6 for 6 from the line in the last minute. And, you'll see free throws being a huge factor in the postseason.
Oh, yeah.
The teams that hit their free throws are going to win the close games. If you miss your free throws, you're going to be, that's going to be your last game of the season. So,
yep. Free throws are big, and especially in college basketball during the tournament. What you got today?
Oh, absolutely. Well, let's go to a game that's not in the tournament, but it's at the end of the regular season. Purdue is ranked 18th. They're going to Illinois, to Champaign, Illinois, to play the Illinois Fighting Illini. Yeah. And I really like Illinois. It's a -4 at home. Mm-hmm. It's a great home court advantage. Illinois is definitely going to be a tournament team, but a win like this over a ranked opponent would move them up a couple of seeds maybe. Right now I saw on Joe Lunardi, they're a 7 seed and Purdue's a 4 seed, but they're still flexibility, room to improve, room to move down. Let's go with the Illinois, -4 over Purdue.
Illinois at home, -4 over Purdue is the play then?
Yes, Illinois, -4.
All right, that's the play there. You guys, you and John Lindo came back with a nice winner at Gulfstream Park yesterday, so let's parlay that winner to another one today.
Yeah, that was nice to be able to put a couple of nice wins together, and I was able to piece together a couple horizontal bets going into the horse that John and I liked, and also Jonathan Hardoon's horse. When you can single a horse like that and get a win, it really helps you.
Yeah.
Let's go to race number 7, Ralph. We're actually going to set up a Scirocco play, 6.5 furlongs down the hillside turf course. I'm going to try the number 1, Vengaza, with Umberto Rispoli riding for Richard Mandela. This horse has a lot of gaps in her past performances, but she put together a career best effort last time, really closed great down the hill, and now she's coming back off a couple of bullet workouts. Let's try the 1, Venganza, to repeat, Ralph.
And like Jonathan Hardoon, just in case they take this race off the hill because of the rain they had overnight at Santa Anita and redo it on the flat. This is still a play, right? The 1, as long as it stays on the ground?
No, this would be turf only.
That's what I'm saying. Well, if it stays on the grass, though. They have a flat grass course, too. That's what I'm saying. As long as it stays on the grass, correct?
Oh, yeah. If they ran it at the 6 furlongs on the flat, the grass is fine,
okay,
but not the main track.
All right. So you and both Jonathan, turf only for these picks. In the 7th race, you like the 1, Vengaza. The 1, Vengaza, is your play. And like you said, you set up a Scirocco play between you and Jonathan Hardoon. The Scirocco play in the 7th race is the 1-4 exacta box, 1-4. You are the 1 horse there, and you have the rest of your selections for Santa Anita today at the RaceDayLasVegas.com website. Hey, thanks a lot, Rich. We'll watch a little racing and then a little basketball later on, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, thanks, y'all. Good luck, everybody.
All righty. Coming up next, John Lindo, and I am sure that John Lindo in Southern California, listening to Trevor Denman all these years, probably has a thought or two about his retirement as well. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
If you're celebrating a special occasion or just love fine dining, you're in the right place. Come experience the crown jewel of South Point restaurants, Michael's Gourmet Room.
Welcome.
With over 600 different types of wines and magnificent dishes prepared tableside, you'll revel in the rich classic Vegas decor and the best black tie service in the world. This intimate gourmet room has earned accolades galore. Come to Michael's Gourmet Room for an unforgettable dining experience. Another famous restaurant is the Silverado Steakhouse. where you'll find the charm and service that discerning patrons require. From top quality steaks and chops to fresh seafood and desserts, you'll love the award-winning wine list and menu at Silverado Steakhouse. Steak lovers have even more options with primarily prime rib. Catering to hearty appetites, the menu features a variety of flavorful prime rib cuts, dry aged to ensure tenderness, and then seasoned and slowly roasted. Although prime rib is our specialty, it's not the only thing on the menu. There's something for everyone.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
All right, back on Race Day Las Vegas for this Friday. We're going to go out to Southern California right now with John Lendo. And the first question I got for you, John, is how soggy is it in Southern California?
Good morning, Ralph. We got a pretty good rain last night here north of Del Mar, and there was some rain up in the Santa Anita area. It's cleared out. The sun's out now. We got a text from the racing office about 7 o'clock. We are on the grass today. Turf will be listed as good. I do not know yet if we're going to stay down the hill or if we're going to go on to the flat course of that 6.5 furlong race. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I would assume they've had the main track closed for a couple of days. When they opened it up, it ought to be in pretty good shape. Mm-hmm. So, at the very least, good on the main track, maybe fast after the first race or two, and good on the turf course. And I think we're going to be okay.
All righty. Now, before we get to a thought or two about Trevor Denman, let's update the jockey and trainer standings as we move into another week at Santa Anita.
Going into this week, Flavian Pratt has taken over as leading rider. It's going to be tough to hold it because you mentioned earlier in the week he'll be on the road quite a bit. But Flavian Pratt has 40 wins. Juan Hernandez is second with 38. Umberto Rispoli, he rounds out the top three. He's got 25 winners. As far as the trainers, Mark Glad is now back in front in the trainer standings with 22 wins. Bob Baffert's there with 20. Then a three-way tie for third between Doug O'Neill, Jeff Mullins, and Michael McCarthy. They've each got 16 winners so far at the meet.
So Jeff Mullins obviously is holding his third-place slot, although he shares it now with two other trainers going into this week.
Exactly, yeah. And for you, Ralph, favorites are still hitting at 48% for the meet.
Really? I just don't know what to say. But in any case... Any case, we can bob and weave around it. There are times, and you saw some of the payoffs in the pick fives and the pick fours, even when you deal with the filthy favorites, all you got to get is one or two long shots or one long shot and a middle-priced horse in there in that sequence, and it'll still pay okay. So we're going to try to bob and weave around all those filthy favorites. But nevertheless, good competition at Santa Anita. Trevor Denman, 40 years in Del Mar alone, and he certainly changed the way announcers announce here in America. And he opened the door for other announcers from other countries that come here. For example, Michael Rona, who at one time called races at Santa Anita, now a mainstay at Los Alamitos. We know there's a track announcer at Turf Paradise right now, a foreign track announcer that's calling. Giving a little flavor to the races, but he really opened the door for all of those guys coming over, didn't he?
He did. He changed the game in a lot of ways, Ralph. You mentioned when he first came in, you asked, did you hear when he first started? I was there, and when he first came in, his cadence was very, very slow. It would take him maybe 3/8 of a mile to work through the field, and I thought, well, this isn't going to work. Mm-hmm. But he tightened that up. He got back into the rhythm of what I consider California racing speed. And he was so descriptive. And to me, he was a teacher to the race fan, because I think he taught people how to watch a race like we do as professional handicappers. You know, who's got horse, who's looking for this, who's out of horse, where they need to go. And he said a lot of things in calls, too, that me as a horse player, I was thinking at the 1989 Santa Anita Derby, mm-hmm. when the Sunday Silence started to kick away, he just said, I think the Derby's over. You know, you're thinking that, but you never heard an announcer say that before.
Yeah.
And you see a horse dominating a field down the lane, and he called the horse winning with condescending ease. You know, you would never hear things like that. And then, you know, all the Trevorisms, moving like a winner, the more he asked, the more he gave, and things of that nature. It made it a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And just enjoyable. And the best part is when you go back and watch these old tapes, I've got a lot of tapes of horses that I've had went through the years. Mm-hmm. They're still fun to listen to.
Yeah, there's no question about that. He was not only an announcer in describing the race, but he was also an entertainer that described the race and very accurate in his descriptions of what was happening in the race, along with just the dimension of the lengths between horses, et cetera. And, you know, I remember a lot of times when he'd sit there and say, running at a pedestrian type of pace, you knew that the race was going slow early and that the closers were going to have a hard time. Stuff like that. As you say, he was doing things that educated people that were not familiar in how to watch a race, but also the seasoned race player that knew what they were watching but never heard an announcer say it.
Exactly. And you've called races for a lot of years. You know, it's not easy to do. You know, you're doing it as it comes on live. So yeah. to know that and see it and to express it to the public is pretty cool.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, all announcers, I think, have a page or two of preparation statements and things that they've developed along the way that they'd like to incorporate in a race when the proper time comes. But the really talented ones that hone their art, you know, do it right off the cuff as it's happening, just like the jockeys make decisions in races in a split second as well. And he certainly has changed the business and entertained us. And Larry Comas will do a great job there at Del Mar as well. And you know, it's going to be kind of. We wish Denman a very happy and successful retirement. He deserves it.
Yes, and that ranch of his is in Minnesota. He's got about 600 acres back there, a lot of cattle on that ranch, and I wish him all the best. I'm going to miss seeing him out here. Yeah. Like I say, I enjoyed it for as long as he was here, and I think Larry Comas is a very capable replacement. Larry will do a solid job.
I know he will, and all I can say is that I don't know if you want to put an over-under on how long it's going to take before some track has a Trevor Denman handicap.
Well, I think that's part of the reason why he retired now. If he had announced it before he came in for his last season, you'd make a big deal of it. The track would honor him and stuff. And he's not that kind of guy. He just kind of likes to sit in the background, you know, do his work. And you don't see him do a lot of the public appearance stuff. And I think that he's going out the way he wanted to. I've done my job, and it's time to go. And I'd like to see him come back. I'd just like to thank him. So hopefully we'll get him out here sometime during the summer. That would be nice. But if not, I just he needs to know how much he did to change and improve the game for us.
And I can tell you this, that he might get a little bit edgy up there on the farm once Del Mar starts and make a side trip coming down just to say hi to everybody. We'll wait and see about that. But he has so many memorable calls and entertaining calls that will go down in history. But can you name one that really stands out for you?
The 2009 Breeders' Cup Classic. The first thing, everybody's eyes were on Zenyatta facing the boys that day. He made a point to let the people know throughout the race where she was, and her chances didn't look good turning for home, and he pointed that out. And when she got the split and went to the outside, he picked her right up, and he finished with that, you know, this is unbelievable finish. Yep. And a perfect call. Just a perfect call, Ralph.
It was, and that's exactly the one that I was thinking of when I saw him retire. So that's got to be his pinnacle call, that's for sure, amongst all the great ones. All right. Well, John, you and Richie shared a winner for us yesterday. What are you doing for us today?
Let's go to race number 2 at Santa Anita. Second race today, number 6, Chasing Money. Had an apprentice on him last time making his first start as a rider, and he almost fell off at the start. The horse got no help at all.
Yeah.
Huge rider switch today to Antonio Freisu, a drop in for a claiming tag. You know, whatever went on last time, he looks like it's go time today. Let's go with the jock switch here. 3-1 on the program. Number 6, Chasing Money, race 2, Santa Anita.
Was a new time jock, and he will learn from his experiences. But, boy, that cost that horse a shot at all last time. But with Freisu aboard, he'll get him out in good order. In the second race, the 6, Chasing Money, the 6 in the second race. John Lindo's a pick for the race day listeners. Don't forget John Lindo's Lindo Report covering all the races, the suggested late pick 4, and all the goody information we were talking about, all on one comprehensive sheet, including a coast-to-coast pick 5 today on the sheet that couples the races from Santa Anita and Gulfstream Park, all on one comprehensive sheet. That sheet can get only one place here in Las Vegas, Nevada. And it's right here at the South Point in the race book, free of charge, complimentary to you because they love horse players here and John Lindo's Lindo Report. Hey, thanks a lot for the memories, John, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
You got it, Ralph. Good luck today.
All right, you got it. And now we go to my man, Jerry Jackowitz, standing by. And Jerry, with the news of Trevor Denman retiring, do you have any thoughts about Trevor?
Well, you know, I had a mixed thought. Obviously, he was very enjoyable, and he had a certain way of calling races. I didn't particularly care for his style because he was always trying to find a specific horse and too much focused on certain types of closers. He missed a lot of calls, in my opinion. I liked the guys like Tom Durkin the best who really called the race from flag fault to finish and really came up with the seminal battles that were going on and what was, to me, they were more accurate. But he was very Hollywoodish to me, and he had a great voice, and he was steady and fairly consistent over a long period of time, and he was a real pro. And I'm happy for him. He had a great career, and I'm anxious for looking for the next great Tom Durkin. That's all.
Well, Larry Comas is going to be taking the spot there at Del Mar. He's already been.
Well, I think we're going to. I think that's for me. I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just talking to you guys. For me, Larry Comas is a step up.
Okay.
Because he gets into the race right there, and he's talking about the race as it's happening. He's not looking for moves that don't exist. Sometimes they show up. Sometimes they don't.
I'm
very critical of the callers.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you didn't mean to be critical, but it sounded like you were. So we'll just leave it at that.
No, I am very critical, but I like Trevor. But I'm a little critical of him. I think Comas is superb. I thought Tom Durkin was superb. So I'm giving you a measure for.
Well, I can tell you one thing right now. I have no knock against either one of those two announcers. I enjoyed Larry, and I enjoyed Tom very much as well. As a matter of fact, when I was my opportunity in South Jersey at Garden State Park, I have a famous picture between me, Dave Johnson, and Tom Durkin. It was one of the ones that hanging on my den wall. Okay, time to get started. Let's go.
Dave Johnson was a fun guy, but I didn't love his call either.
Right. Okay.
Down the stretch they come. It was fun, but then it was.
And now you know what's going to be fun is you got a minute and a half to give us two picks.
Yeah, I'm sorry I didn't get him into Ann earlier. My bad.
Okay. Well, just give it to us. I'll reshare. Go.
Yeah. Let's go to the seventh race to make our play at Aqueduct. We're going to take number one Magnolia Midnight. That's part of the entry. We'll take the one over the 4-6, reverse 4-6 over the one, but the one Magnolia Midnight in race number seven at Aqueduct.
All right, Jerry, in the seventh race, you have three scratches in the race. The 2, the 5, and the 8 are out. Both halves of the entry still go. So in the seventh race, you like number 1, Magnolia Midnight. And if the 1A wins, we'll cash the ticket anyhow. The 1 over the 4 and 6, correct?
Correct.
All right, 1 over 4, 6, and reverse. Obviously, always reverse because you could be a little bit wrong and still cash. All right, now let's go to San Anita.
Well, let's go to the ninth race. I'm not sure if they're on the turf or not, but
they texted John Lindo that says they're on the turf today. As we speak, they're on the turf.
Great.
Okay.
If they come off the turf, this horse is a good win bet. That's the 7. Checks on the way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But if they stay on the turf, which we're hoping, we're going to take the 7 over the 3-4-6, reverse 3-4-6 over the 7. I'm all about the 7. Checks on the way. Rispoli up. Jockey switch here is a big deal.
Okay, so in the ninth race, you like the 7 to win the race no matter what. So it doesn't matter where he's running. If he's in the race, you're a go for the win bet. If it stays on the grass, your link-ups will be numbers 3, 4, and 6 in reverse, right?
Correct.
Okay. Jerry J's Power Page for all of Santa Anita and all of Aqueduct are available right now at jerryjspowerpage.com. And, Jerry, I want to thank you for your opinions, etc. And we'll ask you maybe we'll ask you just to take a quick look at the Tampa Bay Derby tomorrow. How about that?
How about it?
Okay.
I think I will.
Okay, good enough. In any case, we wrap up this Friday show. An interesting one it was at that. And Jerry has one more thing to say before we greet you again on Saturday. Go ahead and say it, Jerry.
Have a great race day, everybody.
It's Ralph Cilotto at Race Day Las Vegas, morning on 1400 KSHP North Las Vegas.
Online
at KSHP.com.